is adorable tonight. Not adorable as a baby in a manger. Not adorable as someone walking the shores of Galilee, but he's adorable because he's in my heart tonight. He lives, he walks, he breathes, he moves in me. And that makes him adorable. And he alone is worthy. Doesn't matter what name you have on your back if you're wearing a uniform. Doesn't matter what name you have on your desk if you have a plaque on your desk at work. The only name that's worthy to be praised is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he alone is worthy. Let's worship him. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. Oh, come. Purpose in coming tonight is I want him to be exalted. I want him to be lifted up. Page 632. Yet you know nothing until you know God and his love. Until you've known that loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has gone. Until you know just how it feels to know you know nothing until you've known the love of God.
could meet everybody, and you could call every name from here to yon. But if you've not come face to face with Jesus and his saving grace, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God.
Thankful that you know about that love tonight. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service again together tonight. I wanted to announce again, Lord willing, on Sunday we'll be having our regular Sunday morning service, but we will not be having an evening service this coming Sunday. So remember that. Also had a couple testimonies we wanted to share. Brother Dale Milby's grandson that we've been praying for, he's home from the hospital, so I want to praise the Lord for that. And then also, Sister Tina had come up Sunday morning, and she had the doctors had said she had an eye ulcer, and that she couldn't wear her glasses, and had to keep drops in them for 2 weeks. But she was scheduled for a follow-up appointment on Monday, and she went in there, and the nurse that came in first, she complimented her. She said, "Goodness," she said, "your eye looks really healthy," and she said, "Just the white around your eye looks really great." And so then the doctor came in, and he got to look in her eyes. He said, "I don't remember your eyes looking that bright last week when you was here." He said, "Your eye looks really healthy." And got to look, and he said, "Well, whatever it was, it's gone." He said, "What have you been doing?" She said, "Well, I came up for prayer Sunday." So praise the Lord. And then another lady there in the office had commented about how healthy her eyes looked as well. And she said, "I can tell by the way you dress, you must live really clean." She said, are you Pentecostal?" And she said, "No." And she said, "Are you apostolic?" She said, "No." And she said, "Oh, I know what you are." She said, "You're non-denominational." And she said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, the more of you people I meet, the more I think you all must be right about something." So, amen. So God knows what he's doing. Amen. Then we got another testimony just now said on Sunday, this is from Sister Christy, said on Sunday, "I stood in prayer. I'd been for many weeks experiencing dizziness and being off balance as well as double vision and other eyesight problems. The brothers prayed and Brother Layton laid the prayer cloth on my eyes. Since then, I've been normal, no vision or dizziness issues at all." So praise the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise for these things that we've heard tonight. Amen. We serve a prayer answering God. And, we've got several prayer requests tonight, but it's encouraging to know that the same God that answered those prayers can answer these as well. And I believe Brother Anthony and Sister Tina, they're both actually kind of struggling tonight with migraines, so I want to remember them in prayer. And also Brother Aaron Peister's twin girls are not feeling well this evening. I want to remember them. And we'd had prayer a few weeks ago for a gentleman by the name of Sterling Lewis. who's from West Virginia. He's a family friend of the Jeffords family, and he passed away, and so we want to remember his family in prayer. And also, Brother Jimmy's dad, James Ard, is suffering with severe dementia and has had several falls, and we want to remember him in prayer tonight. And there's a prayer request for Connie Gideon of Arkansas, who has fallen and injured herself and has been taken to the hospital. I want to remember that prayer request in prayer. And also want to continue to remember Brother and Sister Layton's granddaughter, Megan, and want to continue to remember Sister Mary Beth's dad. And also Sister Patty Hansel's daughter, Morgan, is having gallbladder surgery on December the 23rd, which is this Friday. So I want to remember her in prayer. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Let's just stand, if you would, tonight. I'm asking Brother Lee if he would come. Just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we just come to you, the only one that we know to have faith in. Lord, there's many gods out there that people pray to, but Lord, we're praying to a living God tonight. A God that's, as Brother David had said, is living, moving, breathing inside of us. Your prophet said that we have everything we have need of to make the journey, and it's inside of us. Help us, Lord, tonight to have that faith, God, to move mountains. Lord, it just help us to get out of the way, Lord, that you can move and upon each request that's been made known tonight, Lord. Father, reach out to them, Lord, no matter what it might be. There's nothing too big, too small that you don't care about, Lord. Father, help us to have a godly life. And help us to draw closer to you as each moment passes, Father. Help us to check up on ourselves each second, Lord, each minute of our day. God, for that's our heart's desire tonight, Lord, is to come and worship you in spirit and truth. Forgive us of our faults and our many failures. God, help us, Lord, tonight to be humble and just lift you up. Meet the needs of their requests, Father. We're just going to believe, God, and with all of our heart, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Well, I'm pressing on and on and on. I'm pressing on. Oh, I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm pressing on. Turn me aside, says no need for me to go on, no need to try. Even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. Oh, but I just say, Satan, that proves you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Oh, something down inside me keeps me pressing on. Oh, I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, Lord, just keep me pressing on. Oh, keep on pressing on. Lord, keep me pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Change is soon at hand. Just a few more days of trouble, you'll be in that land. That same Lord Jesus.
Jesus that kept you by his power. We'll send down your theophany in that resurrection hour. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Oh, there's something down inside keeps me pressing on. Try to stop you, turn you aside. He'll say, no need for you to go on, no need to try. Why, even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. That's when I just say, Satan, that proves you're a liar again. Cause I'm gonna keep pressing on. Lord, I'll keep on pressing on. There's something down inside keeps me pressing on. I'll keep on pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord.
Amen. Let's stand together tonight, if you would, and sing this. Oh, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter when I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, there's joy in knowing with him I'm going. I'm walking up the King's highway, and it's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, you don't have to worry, you don't have to hurry when you're walking up the King's highway. Oh, I know Christ walks beside me, his angels will guide me.
Just walking up the King's highway. Oh, and it's a highway up to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven when we're walking up the King's highway. Hand tonight. gets lighter when I'm walking up the King's Highway. And there's joy in knowing with Him I'm going. I'm walking up the King's Highway. Christ walks beside me, His angels to guide me, just walking up the King's Highway. Oh, and it's the highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there, but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. We're walking up the King's Highway. Let's sing it this way. Walking, just start while I'm talking, walking up the King's Highway. Oh, there'll be a blessing, and you'll be possessing when you're walking up the King's Highway.
Aren't you thankful you're walking on the highway? Amen. It's a straight and narrow way, but it'll get us where we're going. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we want to pick up where we've been looking at Elisha and this thought of speak the word. I asked Brother Hoover how he was doing tonight. He said, I'm doing good. I'm going to hear about speaking the word. So I guess I'm getting predictable after 24 parts. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this evening, Lord, I just ask that you would be with us. Lord, may you be in this service. May you just be magnified. Lord, you said that if I be lifted up, that all men would come unto me, Lord. So we just want to lift you up, Lord, this evening. We want you to be able to draw. Lord, as we read last week, Lord, it's you that gives the thirst, Lord. We can be salty, but Lord, it's you that gives the thirst for others, Lord. So we want to lift you up, not to lift myself up or any other man, Lord, but to lift you up so that you could draw others unto you. Lord, as we enter into this service tonight, we thank you for, Lord, your presence that we felt here, Lord, as we sang the songs of Zion, and Lord, just be able to greet one another and to fellowship with one another. But as we enter into the word, I just ask that you would help me, Lord, to Lord, just to enter into a channel to where that you could use me. Lord, if there's some that have questions or maybe they have problems in their lives, Father, may you just minister to those needs tonight. Lord, we want to just do something to help somebody along the way, to encourage a little bit, Father. And we know that in ourselves, there's nothing good that we could bring, but that if you come on the scene, Father, then you can do exceedingly abundantly, even in the supernatural realm, Father, to answer. And Lord, as we've heard so many of the testimonies lately of how you've been healing and moving, Lord, even to looking at x-rays and doctor's reports of things that you've done, Father, just miraculously, we give you all the glory and the praise. And we know the same God that did those things is still here again tonight, Lord, for the needs that are represented here. Lord, we just ask again for these requests, Lord, that came in tonight. Lord, may you be with each one, move in a special way. Lord, we just ask you to take complete control of the service. May you have preeminence is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. We find that this woman had recognized something in Elisha. And Brother Branham picks this up in Respects in 1961. And he said she was actually not an Israelite. She was from Shunem, but she believed in God, and she seen this man pass through the town, heard him speak. She seen the signs that he done. It's told in history, I don't know whether it's true or not, that one day a bunch of wild dogs was trying to catch a little girl. He says, now this isn't in the scripture, it's just a story that I read, and said the Shunammite woman was standing on the corner, and she saw that these dogs was going to kill this little girl, and this holy man was passing through town, and he raised up his staff to God and cried out for mercy for them little children like that, and the dogs turned and went away from them. He said, whether it was so or not, sounds like it could be, I don't know. Whether it was or not, there was something that the Shunammite woman recognized that Elisha had done, that she recognized there's something that's different about this man. And he would pass by. You know, they didn't have airplanes in those days, and they didn't have V8 engines and things like that where they could just get in a car and drive down the road. So in walking, he might walk 30 or 40 miles in a day maybe, and he'd have to stop and stay somewhere and walk on the rest of his journey. And they noticed he was traveling back and forth in front of their house quite a bit, and she encourages him in the scripture that we just read here recently, just in the last few verses here we read tonight. She encourages him to come in and to eat with her family, and she recognizes something about him, that he's a man of God, and she encourages her husband. She said, why don't we build a little place for the man of God, and we could set up a little chamber and have him a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and when he comes by, he can just turn in and spend the night here. And we find out, Brother Bram says it this way in Elisha the prophet, 1956. He said, now she, being a Shunammite, yet in her heart she was a believer. He says, and no matter where the person is that is a believer, God in some way will get the true message to them, just as certain as he's God. That's right. He will manage to get it some way. He'll put an ache on somebody's heart somewhere. They'll write to them to hear testimony, turn the radio on or something or other. They'll hear the true message. God will grant that to them. So when there's somebody with a sincere heart and there's something down inside of them that they want to believe, maybe they've been searching and they've been searching. They've tried this religion and that religion and this denomination and that denomination. Yet if there's something down on the inside that is longing for the truth, then somewhere along the line, God will give them the opportunity for the truth to come by their way. It may come by in the way of a co-worker that lives a good, clean, holy life, or it may come by the way of a family member that's heard something of the truth. It may come by somebody passing them a tract or whatever it would be, but somewhere along the line, God will give them the opportunity, just like he did this Shunammite. She wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't of the lineage of Abraham. She wasn't even one of their people necessarily, but yet this man walking up and down in front of her house, she has this burden in her heart for more of God, and a prophet of God walking right up and down in front of the road in front of her. How many would have just sat there and thought, well, he just looks like a crazy old man to me? But there was something down on the inside of this woman that was thirsting for something that was real, and God finally gave her an opportunity to see something, whether it was a miracle or something she saw about his life. She recognizes something that's real in this man, and she says, this is a godly man. Let's do something about this.
Now, in doing this, we find Jesus said in St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, he said, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." Now, in questions and answers in 1964, they asked Brother Branham what this meant, and he said, "A prophet's reward is to be a friend with the prophet." He said, "Whosoever receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives a righteous man reward." Is that right? And if they want to know what a prophet's reward is, he said, is to be a friend to the prophet. See, that's a reward. He's your friend, like the Shunammite woman. It might come in handy sometimes, see. He said it did with her. Something about it, her paying respects to this man of God and her wanting to do something for him, receiving this prophet in the name of a prophet, it turns right around and becomes a blessing to her. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 11. "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite.' And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, 'Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee?'" You've been careful for us. You've done all these things for us. "Now what is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among mine own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now, in this age that we live in, you know, people almost think that it's a reproach to have a child. And many of them, you know, going out here to abortion clinics and things like that, trying to prevent having children. But in this day, in the Old Testament, it was a reproach not to have a child. And each man, he wanted to pass his name on down to the next generation and have a child to raise up in his stead, that when he would go and he would work and he would have a home and maybe he would have a little bit of land and things like that, he didn't just want it to go back to some distant kinsman, but he wanted to have a son that he could reproduce himself through his wife, and he could see a reflection, attributes of himself in this child that would be produced, and maybe he looked like him or he acted like him or he talked like him, and through this son that he would have, he would give this inheritance down to this child so that he could carry on his namesake after him. But this woman had never had a child, and here her husband was great in age, and Elisha says, "This time, you know, in about 9 months, about the time of life, you're going to have a little child." And she said, "Oh, no, don't lie unto me, my lord. Don't you know, get me all excited for nothing. Here I am, well stricken in age, and here my husband is well stricken in age." But we find, as we begin to read these scriptures and as we go along and see the things that God is doing, nothing is impossible to God. It might be impossible to your banker or your lawyer or your doctor or to some family member that doesn't believe, but nothing is impossible to God. We've seen him heal the sick. We've seen him raise the dead. We've seen him cleanse the sinners. We've seen him fill the empty. Nothing is impossible to God. And as he goes along and he tells her this, she doesn't even believe it at first, but yet that didn't hinder God's word. Once God had spoke this through the mouth of his prophet, God's anointed thought that he had thought back in eternity somewhere becomes manifested through the lips of this prophet, and he speaks this word to this woman, and she says, "Oh my," she said, thou man of God, don't lie unto thine handmaid." And here she enters into this with doubt in her heart initially, but I'd say when she began to feel the muscles jumping and kicking, that doubt began to go away. Maybe there was some of you that, you know, you heard about this and you heard all what God was doing in this day, and you heard about God sending a prophet. Maybe you entered into it with a little bit of doubt, but when the Holy Spirit began to move down on the inside, there was something about it that you recognized. There was a deep that was calling to a deep, and you had been searching for something maybe your whole life, and something began to respond and say, "That's real, that's real, that's real." And that old dead thing that was down on the inside began to be made quickened and alive. She entered into it with doubt, but once there began to be a little life down on the inside, she didn't doubt any longer. And Paul picks it up. He said, what would it hinder God if some didn't believe? He said, God forbid. When God says something, he's going to bring it to pass whether you believe it or not. Oh my, she has the child. Even though she entered into it with doubt, God produces this supernaturally. It was a spoken word child that God spoke through the mouth of his prophet, said this is going to take place. And here are even the parents doubting, but yet it begins to take place anyhow, regardless of their doubt. And they begin to get so excited. Oh my, here we are in our old age, going to have this child. And the child gets up to be a little boy and he goes out in the field to work with his dad. We pick it up in verse 18. It says, when the child was grown, it fell on a day that when he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. Brother Branham said it this way. He said he believed he had a sunstroke because he kept crying, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now that was a pretty good place to take him and lay him. Took him up. She knew that anything this man touched was anointed. And she went and she laid him upon this prophet's bed. And here she is. She probably doesn't understand. She's probably discouraged. She's probably upset. You can imagine it's kind of a parallel to Abraham and Sarah when they were well stricken in age. And then Elohim came walking down the road in a flesh body. And he tells them the same thing about the time of life. You're going to have a son, a spoken word son. And now they raise up this child and he gets to a certain age. And God says, take this boy up onto the top of the mountain and kill him. And Abraham says, goodness, here I am. I waited 25 years for this promised son in my old age. And now I'm going to have to go up and sacrifice him. But in obedience to God, he starts his way up the mountain. And he tells the men that are with him, he said, you wait here and the lad and I shall return. He didn't know a bit more than you know some of the things in your life, how they're going to work out. He didn't know how it was going to work out or how it was going to be. But he knew that if God could supernaturally give him a promised son, that God wasn't going to keep this son from him. And here this woman has a promised son in her old age, and he gets to be a little boy and he dies, and she goes in and she lays him on the prophet's bed, and she doesn't know how it's going to take place. She doesn't know exactly what's going to take place, but she gets it in her mind, if I can just get to the prophet, something's going to take place. Either God will raise him up or either he'll reveal to me how he took him. But I don't believe God would give me a promised son, a spoken word son that I wasn't even supposed to have, and then take him to a premature grave. And she goes hunting for the prophet, and her husband says, oh my, he said, don't you think that, you know, here it is, it's neither new moon nor Sabbath. He said, he's not going to be anywhere where you can find him. And he says in verse 23, wherefore will you go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Not it might be, not I hope so, not I think so. She said, it shall be well. Here her little boy is laying up in the attic somewhere on the prophet's bed, and it looks like all hope was gone. But her testimony is, it shall be well. I don't know what your situation is tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what Satan's tried to lie to you about or what he's tried to prevent you from. I don't know what the doctors told you or what your lawyers told you or what you're going through, but it shall be well. Amen. Amen. We serve that same God tonight. Yes. He hasn't changed. St. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So if he can move for her, he can move for you. Amen. How much more? The blood of Jesus wasn't even shed when this scripture took place. How much more can he do for you tonight? Amen. All things look terrible for her, but her testimony was, it shall be well. She calls for the young man. She said, saddle me a mule and let's go and find this man of God. And she goes searching for him. And as they get close to verse 25, so she went and came into the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said unto Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. He was very specific. Now, Brother Branham said God doesn't show his prophets everything, and he hadn't shown Elisha all about what was going to be and what had taken place, but he sees her coming urgently, and he recognizes something is wrong, and he sends Gehazi on ahead of him, says, ask her, is all well with thee? All is well. What about with your husband? Is he okay? All is well. What about with the little spoken word child? Is he okay? All is well. Oh my, she was coming in faith. She wasn't coming like some of us do to church. Well, it's just another church service, and we'll see. You know, maybe if there's a guest speaker, I'll go up and get hands laid on me, and maybe God can do something, and maybe it'll be all right, and maybe I'll get healed, and maybe this will be the night I get the Holy Ghost, and maybe this is right, and maybe I'll get saved, and maybe God did send a prophet, and maybe. She didn't say maybe, or it might be, or I hope so. She said all is well. All is well. Oh my. It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and go take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. Now, Brother Ram said this is where he believes that St. Paul got that, where they would take from the body of Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons and lay it on the sick, and that the sick were being healed from it. That's why we still believe in it today. Acts 19, they took from the body of Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons and began to lay it on the sick, and the sick began to get healed. And he said that Elisha knew that whatever he touched was anointed. That's why she had laid him up on that bed. She recognized that there was something about this man of God, that whatever he touched, God blessed. And so she, you know, they might have said, you old hypocrite, you old fanatic, what does that mean to go lay this child up in some man's bed? And she said, you can make fun of all you want, but I've seen what his word produces. Oh my, so I can say the same thing tonight. They can say what they want, they can make fun of what they want, but I've seen what the word produces. Amen. I haven't seen anything else produce it, but I've seen what the word produces. And he tells him, he says, take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. Now, I want you to notice the Shunammite woman didn't rebuke him and say, I don't want your old relic. But she said, that was okay. Go ahead and lay the staff on the boy. But her faith wasn't in the staff. Her faith was in the word of God through the mouth of his prophet. And she didn't go with the staff, but she waited with the prophet. Now, Brother Hoover likes to use people for example, so I'm going to use him a little bit tonight. Brother Hoover, would you come out here a minute? You stay right there just a minute. He's Gehazi, and now the prophet has told him, you go and take this staff and lay it on the child. Let's get him a staff tonight. This will be a visual demonstration. Well, maybe not. Here, we'll just use the whole thing. This is Elisha's staff tonight.
All right.
You go and you take that staff, and you lay it on the child. If any man salutes you, don't you salute him back. Any man speaks to you, don't you speak to him. Any man tries to shake your hand, greet you, and tell you about what God did in church, or who won the ball game, or who won the election, or whatever it is, don't you even stop. I'm giving you a commission. You go and you lay this staff on this man. Now, I want you to go, Brother Hoover, and lay the staff on the boy. And I'm just going to be some villager. You go ahead. He's that way, Brother Hoover. He's that way. Brother Hoover, I wanted to tell you something. Did you hear about what Louisville did the other night? Here he goes and lays it on the child. And they could have went and said, you know what? I saw that prophet's servant the other day, and he was so rude to me in Walmart. You know, I tried to talk to him, and he said, I'm on a mission from the king. He wouldn't even talk to me or fellowship with me or shake my hand. Those bunch of old hypocrites, I'm never going back to that church, and I'm never going to affiliate with it. Thank you, Brother Hoover. Amen. He may not be okay now, but he will once the prophet gets to him. He would have thought, how rude wouldn't even salute me or greet me or shake my hand. But many times that's where we go wrong. God sends us with a mission. Maybe he's wanting us to go straight from work and just pray through. And maybe we got somebody on our heart, but we run into somebody at McDonald's and, oh my, I haven't seen you in so long, John. So good to see you. And we get caught up there. And then, we on the way home, we remember, oh my, the wife wanted us to get milk. And then we get stuck with somebody there. And then somebody calls and says, hey, will you help me go do this? And will you help me go do that? And before you realize it, you get home and, oh Lord, I know you want me to pray through, and I know you lay that person on my heart, but I'm so tired, I'll do it tomorrow, Lord. And then the next morning the alarm clock goes off late and you're running behind, you're running here and you run to that. Well, I'll pray tomorrow, Lord. And this comes up and that comes up, and God keeps impressing things on your heart. Brother Jack Cole said he was in the service, and he said God was moving and everything. He said God told him, I want to talk to you. And he said I'm just so tired tonight, Lord. He said miracles and things taking place and healing. He said I'll talk to you tomorrow night. And he went on a little further, and God said, I want to talk to you. He said, oh Lord, I'm so tired, I've been running so hard, so many services and all these things. He said, I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Finally God said, no, we're going to talk now. And sometimes God lays your back in a hospital bed, or sometimes he gives you some well-needed time off for rest, and he leaves you unemployed for about 6 months, or sometimes he lets the children get sick to where you get desperate enough, or he'll do something to get your attention where finally he says, no, we're not putting this thing off any longer. We're going to talk right now. Oh my, I find so many times we can come the easy way or we can come the hard way. But when God lays something on your heart, don't stop at grandma's and Uncle Bob's and Aunt Susie's and run this errand and run that errand and go greet somebody and go to lunch over here with somebody else. When God is dealing with you to do something, you better go do it then. Or you might find out sometime you went to do it and it's, oh, the person's already gone, or might they backslid or whatever it be. You might have some regrets someday if you don't do what God's leading you to do right then. He should have preeminence in our lives. He should come first in our lives. Oh, I didn't say I had to come first. You don't have to get quiet on me tonight. Not the pastor or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher, the song leaders. We appreciate all them, but they don't come first. Not your wife or your children or your job. All those things are wonderful. We thank God for those blessings, and we want to prioritize those correctly. But he should come first. Amen. He should come first. Oh my, he runs ahead with the staff. Gehazi, verse 31, passed on before him and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. Now, a lot of people would have just left the message right then. Oh my, he told Gehazi to go lay that staff on the child. And bless God, Gehazi did exactly what the man of God said. He went and laid the staff right there on the face of the child. Just obeyed the commandment of the prophet to the T. And just did exactly what the word said. And the child still laid there dead. No breath in it. Dead as a doorknob, didn't move, didn't blink, yet he obeyed the word of God. Yes. But the prophet's still coming. Wait a little bit. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. You say, oh my goodness, you mean that the prophet would tell Gehazi something and Gehazi could fulfill the word exactly to the T and it still wouldn't take place? Don't let that stumble you. Jesus did the same thing. He told his disciples, go and lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover, cast out devils and do all these things, and they was having revivals. And even Judas, being an anointed one, even though he lost it at Pentecost, Brother Branham said he betrayed Jesus and he wouldn't go on to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, yet this man, still an anointed apostle, a disciple, going out casting out devils, healing the sick, doing all these things like Jesus commanded. And they got around this one little boy and he had an epileptic spirit, and Peter began to roll up in his sleeves. He said, look, he gave me the keys of the kingdom, boys. Let me show you how I did it over in Capernaum. And we had this lady over there, oh my, she was sick and the doctors had given her up. And he said, oh my, just let me roll up my sleeves and I'll show you how it was done. And I laid my hands on her like this and I shoved her like that. And James said, oh no, stand aside, Peter. Said, I there was a lady that was sicker than that in one of my meetings the other night. And said, she was way sicker than yours was. And when I went around, I got her by the hands and I began to jump up and down with her and God healed her. He said, let's try that. And they tried that. And all the next disciple came up. He said, oh, both of you are so wrong. Said, oh, I had a man that was on his deathbed the other night, and I just held his hands and began to weep and cry out to God, and I said, oh my, God came and touched him. They kept trying all these different outward emotions and things on the child, and he was still just as sick as he ever was. And Jesus came by and they said, we don't understand, Master. You commissioned us to go out and heal the sick, and here this little boy, we've tried every trick in the book. We've tried quoting every scripture and praying every verse and jumping up and down and hollering, and we've tried shoving him and jerking him and slapping him and everything we can think of. Hasn't done any good. He said, this is the kind that comes only by prayer and fasting. All of their good intentions, all of their outward emotions didn't do anything. But when Jesus came by, and so Gehazi had the best intentions. He had the word of God through the mouth of the prophet. He does all these things. But that woman's faith wasn't in the staff to begin with. It said, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. You say, oh, that's terrible. I can't imagine him laying on the child and putting his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. My, that's unsanitary and just seems strange. All right, well, when you choke on a pork chop over here at O'Charlie's or somewhere, you just have your wife remind the paramedics when they get there, he doesn't want any mouth-to-mouth resuscitation because he thinks that's just strange. And don't lay your body behind him and try to give him the Heimlich maneuver because he thinks that's just odd and it's superstitious and things. As far as I know, this was the first time that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation was ever performed. And I don't think he did it exactly like the paramedics, but it worked. Amen. Because it wasn't a paramedics routine, but it was God, his anointing coming off of this man's body into the child, and the flesh of the child began to wax warm. And then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and he went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come unto him, he said, take up thy son. And then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Can you imagine this woman? Here she was. She had been testifying that all is well, and she had been hoping that all is well, and she had been trying to hold on with every strand of faith that she had, believing that all was well. But now she was able to recognize all is well. Amen. Amen. She was able to recognize, even though faith down inside her told her she knew that God was able, but she didn't really know fully if God was willing or not. But now her faith and her zeal and her anointing to go and do these things, God honors her respect to this man as his prophet. And he goes in. It wasn't Elisha that restored the body. Elisha was just doing maybe what God had showed him to do. But Jesus Christ, the architect of this little boy's body, began to come down and do something for the child. Elisha said, you can come take him now. He's all right. Amen. You can come take him now. That's all right. You say, I don't know about that, Brother Nathan. Well, I just heard a quote the other day. Brother Bram said, he never healed anybody. He said, but I've sure seen God answer some prayers pretty quickly for me. He said, I've never healed anybody. He said, they want to say, you know, call it a divine healer and all these different things. He said, I've never healed one person, but I've sure seen him answer some prayers. Amen. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible said. There's something about it, you know, maybe you've got somebody on your speed dial that when something's really wrong, you want to get a hold of that somebody that you know that they've got faith and you've seen God answer prayer for them before. And, you know, you're not just going to ask some random person, some guy laying half drunk in the alley, would you pray for my son? He's dead. No, when it's something serious, you're going to get a hold of somebody that you know is a prayer warrior. You're going to get a hold of somebody that you know God has answered their prayers before. And if he could answer their prayers for somebody else, I believe he could answer them for me. Now, this woman, it seemed like by medical science, by human expectations, by everything standard that we could go through and historical records and everything else, it seemed like all hope was gone, but yet she didn't go walk around like a lot of us so-called Christians with our face down, droopy, and oh my, God doesn't love me anymore, and you know, this happened and that happened, and oh my, you know, he let me fall into this and he let me fall into that, and many times it wasn't God anyhow, it was your poor decisions instead of seeking God that got got you in the trouble that you're in. A lot of times we want to blame God or blame the devil or blame our parents or blame the pastor or the deacons or somebody. But 9 times out of 10, it was our own poor choices that got us in the fixes we get into. If we would have spent a little bit more time on our prayer asking God, God, should I do this and should I do that? Then we wouldn't have been in those fixes in the first place. But then when we get there, we want to blame it on the devil or blame it on God or blame it on our poor old parents or somebody. Instead of looking in the mirror and saying, oh my, it was my stupid decision in the first place, wasn't it? Lord, I apologize. Can you help me now? Amen. And he does. And he does. Amen. He's faithful. And he's patient. If he wasn't patient, I sure wouldn't be here tonight if he hadn't been patient with me. He kept giving me opportunity after opportunity and chance after chance, and he kept working and molding. And in fact, he's still working and molding on me. You know, and we sing the little song, it took him just a week to make the moon and the stars and Jupiter and Mars and all that, but he's still working on me, Brother Hoover. Oh, my. We don't hear of this woman again for several chapters, but then in 2 Kings chapter 8, there was a famine going on in the land, and because she was a friend of a prophet and she's receiving these rewards from the prophet, we find out whenever you get around something that's real and something that's true, that there's rewards that goes with it. There, I believe it was David said, forget not all his benefits, talking of the Lord. And we find out that she was receiving some of these benefits from the message of her day. She not only had received this child in her old age, now she receives this child as from the dead. As Abraham received him as from the dead, this child was actually dead, and she receives him back from the dead. God raises him up. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1, Elisha forewarns her of this famine that's going to take place. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise, go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine. And it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Now I want you to notice the timing of this and how that God, many times things are taking place in our lives and we think, Lord, why on earth did this happen? And why on earth did that happen? And all these things that seem catastrophic to us and seem terrible, and this famine has come into the land, but yet this prophet has warned her that there's going to be a famine for 7 years. And so she flees to the land of the Philistines for 7 years, and she waits there. And then when she comes back home, now squatters have moved in and have taken her land and her houses and all of these different things, and she comes back discouraged. Here she has obeyed the word of the prophet and she's bypassed this famine, but now she comes back, and the Bible said earlier she was a great woman, she was wealthy, she had a lot of land and a lot of houses and things, and she comes back and somebody else has gone in, and she goes to the king to cry for her house and her land back. Now there's been 7 years that she's been off the scene, and we haven't heard anything about this woman. She hasn't been there locally, she hasn't had her name in the paper, and she hasn't been anything that was that would be a recollection. But it just so happens that on this specific day that she's going to go and plead for the king for her land, that Gehazi goes up to fellowship with the king. And while he's there, the king begins to ask Gehazi, tell me about some of these stories that this great mighty man Elisha has done. And of all the stories that Gehazi could have chosen, he could have told him about the axe that floated. He could have told him about him smiting the waters and the Jordan parting. He could have told him about him turning the bad water to sweet again. He could have told him about him healing Naaman. Well, he could have told him on and on and on, but the story that he happens to pick on this particular day was the Shunammite woman who received her little boy from the dead. God's timing is always perfect. And the king talked with Gehazi the servant, verse 4, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. Amen. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed under a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land even until now. Amen. Now, she might have went in there the day before and knocked on the king's door, and he might have said, I don't know who you are or who you think you are, but I'm not giving you back nothing. You've been gone 7 years, and these people, they've been working this land and farming it, and they've kept it up nice. And in fact, you know, they're friends with my cousin, and I really don't want to give you your land back. And he could have had all kinds of reasons, and he could have had every right not to do it. But it just so happens that this woman, on this day that she comes back from a seven-year journey, from a seven-year famine, she comes back. And she recognizes it, and she goes in and she knocks on the king's door. And as they enter her into the palace and say, you're going to have an audience with the king today, she walks up and she happens to recognize a familiar face up on the throne with the king. And he's sitting up there beside him, and the king's talking to him, and they're in a heated discussion. And Gehazi is just describing this. He said, oh, my king, he said, there I was with the prophet's staff in my hand, and I ran just as hard as I could, and the boy was cold, and he said there wasn't life in him. I sat there and I watched. His chest didn't rise or fall. I listened to his mouth and there wasn't any breath, and his hands were just as cold could be. But about that time, the prophet walked in the door and he asked me, he said, Gehazi, would you step outside just a moment? And then a few minutes later, he came out and he walked up and down to and fro in the house, and then he went back in. I thought I heard him sneeze 7 times, but it turned out it wasn't him. It was that little dead boy. And the king said, oh my goodness, Gehazi, I would have given anything to be there and see that. You've been so privileged to see some of these great things that God has done in our age. And Gehazi said, king, that woman standing right there in line next, that's her. And not only that, that's the little dead boy right there with her. Right. He said, what do you have need of today? He was already prepped and ready. God sometimes opens doors and shuts doors and opens windows and closes windows, and we don't understand, Lord, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? And maybe he's lining everything just upright so that boss that almost hates you and would almost cusses you behind your back and do your face and do your side and everything else, one of these days you walk in and there's just something about it. He's in a good mood. He said, you know what? I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't like you in the first place, but I just felt led to give you a raise this year. God had him prepped and ready, and just everything went right that day. And oh my, maybe he doesn't even know why he did it, but God knew why.
That's right.
We had a family here, was out of work for about 4 months, didn't have any income coming in, didn't have any insurance, didn't have anything, and they had switched them over to Medicare because they didn't have their own insurance at the time, and things looked bad for them, but God was providing each step of the way. The brother testified to me a while back. He said, Brother Nathan, during that time, I wasn't late for one bill, and his wife had some medical problems, and when they switched them over to Medicare, the doctors came back and said, we're going to have to do all these different things, and it's going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and your insurance isn't going to cover all of it. But once they began to realize he'd got his new job and got everything set up, they went back and was researching it, and they said, you know what, where you was off work and Medicare kicked in, once it's the primary, it stays the primary for that issue, and you don't owe a dime.
Amen.
You can tell who it was by the brother amen and real loud. I wasn't going to call names, but he doesn't mind apparently. When God does something, he does it right.
Amen.
And, you know, we could sit and scratch our heads and say, Lord, why am I off work? Or why didn't this work out? Why didn't I get that job that I wanted? Why didn't my child get into the college that I wanted him to go? I want him to be a rocket scientist, and they're painting or hanging drywall, or they're doing this or they're doing that. They're a carpenter or a plumber, and I want him to be a brain surgeon. And I had all these plans and these ideas, but God works it out exactly the way that God wants it to be. And when God works it out, he has a reason, and he's lining something up. Maybe he's getting them to their perfect mate, or maybe he's getting them to the church that they need to go, or maybe he's getting them in a place to where they can receive something that they have need of. And we had all these plans and all these ideas, and we thought we had it all figured out, and then thing after thing after thing goes wrong, and we sit and we shake our head. We say, God, what is this? The Shunammite woman sat there. She said, Elijah, I didn't ask you for this child. In fact, I was worried that it wasn't going to happen in the first place. And now I've had him all these years and I love him. And, He's just almost the very life to my husband. He thinks the world of that boy, and now he's died. And why would you put us through this? Why would you let this happen? He said, Gehazi, I don't know what's going on. God's hid it from me, but I believe there's a miracle in the making. I believe there's something that's going to take place, and he sends him on. She had all kinds of questions and all kinds of reasons, but God was working everything out just the way that it was supposed to be. And you know what? If God hadn't allowed that child to die and hadn't raised him from the dead, you said, God, why even let the boy die in the first place? Why wouldn't you have just let him live? Why did you waste Elisha's time and Gehazi's time? And why did you worry the poor woman? And why did you worry her husband? Well, first of all, it gave them more faith in God than they had to begin with. Because once you've seen the dead raised, whether it's somebody that's spiritually dead or physically dead, and you see new life begin to quicken them, it does something to restore your faith a little bit. Amen. And second of all, if this hadn't happened, Gehazi would have probably been telling some other testimony about the time she came up there, and the king would have said, look, I don't know who you are or what you're doing, but I don't see why I should do this for you. And God had it all worked out. And we look and we think, God, why this and why this and why that? And how would you allow these things to take place? And God looks down through eternity and says, but I have a perfect plan. Amen. And you just keep walking in my plan. I said a while back, I told the church, I said, you know, all these guys have 10-step plans and 12 steps and 5 steps and all these different steps. My 10-step plan is take one step toward Jesus and take a second step towards Jesus and keep doing that till you get to 10 steps and then just repeat the process and keep repeating it. Just keep taking a step closer to him and then he'll work it all out. You say, I don't have it all figured out, Brother Nathan. I don't either. But I know who does. Right. I'm not depending on my plan for financial security. I'm not depending on myself or my ability for my children's health or for my own health. Every breath that I take, that I breathe in and out, I'm dependent on him for it. Because there's many men younger than me that have dropped dead in a heart attack or that have died, you know, mysteriously or in car wrecks or different things. But he's allowed me to come this far, and I'm depending on him for the next breath. And once I breathe that, I'll depend for him for another one. I'm dependent on him for my children's health and for our finances and for this church and for the different things that we're praying for. I'm dependent on him tonight. Amen. And we have this assurance. I like this. This is from 1964, possessing the gate of the enemy after trial. He said, God is true to his promise. No matter what he has to do, bankrupt the heavens before he would let his word go defeated. He never made a promise that he can't keep. I'm the Lord that heals all thy diseases. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. He said, amen. If thou canst believe, amen. All things are possible. We have the word tonight. We have the word. If you can just apply that word and recognize that wasn't for somebody in Elisha's day or somebody in Noah's day or Moses' day, or wasn't just for somebody in 1954 or 1963, but that word was given because God looked down through time and said, you know what, my child is going to have a need, or my child is going to have a question, or my child is going to have a problem, or there's going to be something that arises, and they need to know this. Paul said these things were given to us for in samples. They were given to us so that we could look back through and recognize, you know what, God did it for brother so-and-so, and God did it for this one, and God did it for that one. If he can do it for them, he can do it for me. And if you can really latch your faith onto it, like the woman did there, the Shunammite woman, here she was, she didn't have a definite scripture just to say, thus saith the Lord, thy son will live. She didn't have that, but she knew that the same God that could give him to her, when the doctor said there was no hope for her to have this child, the same God that could do that could raise this child up, and she starts stepping out there in faith. And she says, all things are possible. And they said, is everything okay with you? All is well. Everything okay with your husband? Everything's great. What about the child? He okay? Oh, all is well. It is well. They said, oh my, that lady must be crazy. I know her. I know her neighbor. And they said, her son's laying in there just as dead as dead can be. She said, it is well. It is well, because I know in whom I have believed. And I know that he would bankrupt heaven to bring his word to pass. Amen. And if I can just get to the prophet, he can just tell me a word from the Lord. That's all I have need of. All is well. Now, I picked this up in the studying this today, and I about shouted around the room because I'd never caught it before. But in the Hebrew lexicon, this city that she lived in, Shunem, means double resting place. And it was a city in Issachar located 5 miles south of Mount Tabor there in Israel. A city of Issachar named Shunem, and it means double resting place. And my mind began to go back to that song that Brother Lineal Yontz wrote, "All is well, all is well. We have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well." A double resting place. Rest, little bride, rest. So I texted Brother Lenny. I said, "Did you know that word meant that when you wrote that?" He said, "Brother Nathan, I've never heard that in my life, but I'm going to tell it everywhere I go from now on." All is well tonight. We don't just have a resting place, we have a double resting place. Oh my, on the bosom of Jehovah Jireh. A double resting place, a double portion that he said he would give to the church. Remember, we just read the quote last week. Brother Branham said, when Christ went to Calvary, just like Elijah going across Jordan, which represented death, he said when Christ went to Calvary, that the church followed him there, and that when he died, like Elijah died, and passed the mantle back to Elisha with the double portion, he said when Christ died at Calvary, he said a double portion fell back on the church. Amen. A double resting place. Amen. What are you worried about tonight? Why do we have to fear? Why do we have to be afraid of? We have a resting place in Jehovah tonight. Amen. Amen. If the musicians would come, maybe you wonder, maybe you can look at your life tonight and you think, oh my, why on earth would God allow these certain circumstances? Why would God have allowed this family member to do this? And why would he have allowed this financial situation and that financial situation? And why would he have allowed all these different things in my life? I want to remind you tonight, we have a double resting place. Amen. We can rest safe in Jehovah. Not on man's ideas or our own imaginations, but in the Word of God, we have a double resting place. That whatever it is that you're going through, why don't you just rest a little while tonight in the promises of God? You recognize that he's got it under control. You say, "Brother Nathan, there's this situation at work. I don't know what's going to take place." We have a resting place. Amen. You say, "The doctor said this and that, Brother Nathan. They don't give me much hope, or they don't give some family member much hope." Then we got a double resting place tonight. Amen. You say, "Oh, Brother Nathan, there's a situation at school, or a situation at church, or a situation in the family. It's just about to blow up, and I don't know what to do." Why don't you go to your double resting place tonight? Amen. And just rest in it. Say, "Lord, I don't know. I'm taking my hands off of it. I've done all that I can do. I've done all that I know how to do. It seems like I just can't get it done. So I'm just going to leave it in your hands. And I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to rest." I'm not saying you shouldn't do anything. You know, some people, they take that to the extreme. They think, "Well, you know, I'm not going to go up for prayer. And I'm not going to go put in a resume. And I'm just going to sit." That's not saying be a couch potato. It's saying once you've done what you can do and you've put forth your effort, take your hands off of it and say, "God, I've done my part. I've done what you required of me. Now I'm just going to rest. I'm going to rest in your word and rest in your promises." You watch, just like the Shunammite woman, you'll recognize all is well. Amen. Let's sing it tonight, key of F. Oh, there's a story in the Bible of Elisha, Shunammite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God, so he gave her a son. While working in the field, the little boy died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified that all is well. Is that your testimony tonight? Oh, all is well. All is, whatever you're facing tonight. Oh, we have heard the message, Shalom. Let's
sing that first verse again. Oh, there's a story in the Bible of Elisha, the Shunammite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God, so he gave her a son. Oh, while working in the field, the little boy died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified, church all. Brother Nathan, oh, all is well. Just apply the token. Oh, and all is well. For we have heard the message alone. All is well. Oh, there is a place of where you're at tonight. Oh, now things have not turned out just like God's people thought. You see, we're still here and we're fighting the greatest battle ever fought. We must have the faith of Abraham, knowing God's word never fails. If you'll trust in Him, you'll find that all is well. Oh, all is well. Yes, all is well. Oh, we have heard the message.
sing it one more time.
Sing that little song, Come Holy Spirit, I Need Thee.
Come Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Come Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in my strength.
stand and sing it tonight. I feel love. I hear the call. And I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me. Oh, and I. Exactly why I can't explain with tongue or pen, the Spirit's groaning deep within. Oh, it must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull. Oh, I feel the again together. Oh, I feel the call. I hear the call. And I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me. Oh, softly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we feel Your presence here tonight, Lord, knowing that You're a present tense God, Lord, that not just a God of yesterday, not just a God of today, but a God of always, Lord, a present tense God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we have no reason to doubt You. Lord, when we see You begin to move and begin to change lives and heal bodies, and Lord, just restore different situations, Father. Lord, move on the scene for family members. So many different ways, Father, that we see you moving. Lord, we commit these things into your hands. Lord, many needs that are represented here tonight, Father, but we commit it to you. Lord, may you just move on the scene in a special way. Lord, if there's some, Lord, that you're calling and dealing with, Lord, maybe things in their lives they know that they should be doing, or maybe things, Lord, that they know they shouldn't be, and they've tried on their own to do it, and they've tried to correct it, and they've tried to do what they know they should, Father, but it seems like Satan is blocking them on every avenue. May they just give it to you tonight, Lord. May you just take complete control of the situation. Lord, may you give, Lord, the faith, Father. May you give the strength, Lord, for each need and for each situation. Lord, may you speak to hearts tonight, Lord. May you draw each and every one of us here tonight closer to you, Lord. Closer into your presence, closer into a relationship, Lord, with you. Father, Lord, that we could speak one-on-one with you, Father. Lord, that we could have fellowship with you, that you could lead us and that you could guide us. Lord, that you could protect us and that you could deliver us, Lord Jesus. We're depending on you tonight, Father. We're resting in you tonight, Father. Lord, there's in this age of confusion and so much darkness and hatred and evil that goes on, Lord, yet in all that, Lord, there's a place that we can rest in, Father, and that's in you. Lord, we're just resting in you tonight, Father. We're depending on you, Lord, for every aspect of our lives, Father. We're depending on you for the leadership and the guidance. Lord, we just put it in your hands tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we love you tonight. Amen. Oh, sweet, sweet anointing, flowing down to make me clean like
Glory. I would say unto my people that you are called by my name. I say, hearken unto me. I say, listen not to the men of vain babblings. But I said, hearken unto my word. I said, ask what you will, and I will provide. I say, I will move for your needs. My people which are called by my name. My hand is not short, but I will receive what I have heard from you. He na 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 chundidi I kundidi I shundidolo he na na na. I say unto my people, just ask what you will.
Yes.
My love is too strong. I say I strong as my love for you. I say lead not to your own understanding, but lean to mine, and I will move for my people.
Hallelujah. Amen. He's here tonight. Amen. If you have a need, he'll hear your words. Amen. All you have to do is just speak. Say, Lord, you know the need. You know the situation. You knew about it before the foundation of the world. Amen. His hand isn't too short. He can reach you where you are. He knows all about it. Amen. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many would raise up your hands? Say, Brother Nathan, I have a need tonight that I want to speak to the Lord about. I have a situation in my home or my family or my finances or my physical life. I have a need that I want to speak to him about. Amen. You say, I don't understand that, Brother Nathan. Well, that happened in the book of Acts. Amen. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians, said tongues and interpretation. He said that if there's one that speaks in tongues, may pray that he could interpret. Amen. So we believe in that. Amen. We hear it many times on the tapes like that. Brother Ram say, you notice how that was in perfect order, not when the minister was speaking or different things like that, but at the end of the service. So we believe he still moves in that way.
Amen.
Amen. I believe he's speaking to his people tonight to let you know if you have a need tonight, he's a present tense God.
Amen.
To move on that need. Why don't you just hold that need in your heart, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you've got a burden on your heart tonight, why don't you just place that before him tonight? Say, Lord, I'm speaking it to you. This is my need. I'm presenting it to you. I'm depending on you for this need. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, feeling your presence here, Lord, hearing you speak to us through the tongues and interpretation, Lord, as we recognize in the scriptures that you move in that way. Lord, not just in a day of yesterday, but Lord, that you still work in that way today. Lord, what a comfort it is to our hearts to recognize, Lord, that you still care for us. Lord, that you care for our needs and that you're speaking to individuals tonight, Lord, to remind them, Lord, that you hear our words and you hear our petitions and you care about our needs and our burdens that are on our heart. Lord, as we hold in our hearts, Lord, the different petitions that we would present before you, Lord, of needs of family members or whatever it would be, Father, Lord, that we place before you tonight, I just ask that you would begin to move on the scene for each one. Lord, we present them to you, Father. Lord, we take our hands off of the situations and we place it in your hands, Lord. You spoke and you said you would hear us, Father. And so now we lay it in your hands, Lord, knowing they're much more capable than ours, Lord. And we believe that you're moving and that you're working. Lord, we're depending on you. We don't take these things lightly, Father, but we recognize that you care for us. Lord, we commit it to you tonight. We're depending on you tonight, Lord. Oh, may we just rest in you and in your promises tonight, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Let's just worship him a little while tonight.
We want to say thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. Though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you.
Yes, we want to say thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all you've done. Oh Lord, I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare. Oh, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave it there. Pain, and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair. Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care. He will never leave you then, He'll go with you to the end. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave it there. Oh, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Trust and never doubt, He will surely.